joy to be here, I can say that. Joy to be with you at Burke County Camp Meeting once again. I preached this camp meeting 32 years ago. And, you know, I've got a lot older, a lot more gray hair, but it's good to be here. And I remember attending Burke County Camp Meeting with my daddy when it was in a tent, Dr. Percy Ray's tent, up on George Hildebrand Schoolyard. And I know a lot of you do not remember that. I do. And that was the first time, to my knowledge, that I ever heard Brother Wade Huntley preach. And the first time also, a little later, might have been the year before or the year after, Brother Arthur Blackburn preached. And that's what I was raised under. And I don't regret it at all. I thank the Lord for it. Well, I told my folks yesterday at Olive Grove that we're about through COVID if they wanted to move back up. You know, and I see that's carried over here too. But we're glad you're here wherever you're seated. It's just a joy to meet together with God's people and appreciate the opportunity to preach God's word. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number. Well, we're going to begin our reading in chapter number 4, and then we'll carry over a little into chapter number 5, and I do covet your prayers. I do. I'm thankful that you pray and that you know how to pray and that you will pray. We're counting on that. Of course, my pastor, who was Buren Hastings, said years ago, do your own praying. Don't count on other people alone to pray for you. He said they might or might not, so he said you better do your own praying. Well, that's true, isn't it? But I know there are folks here who will pray for us, and we appreciate that. All right, we'll begin our reading with verse 31. And the Bible says, Luke 4, verse 31, and speaking of Jesus, and the Bible says, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. But they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, we believe according to thy will to break the bread of life. You know the need of every church that's represented. You know the need of every individual Christians. And Lord, we know that you're the source of every blessing and the one who can meet our needs. And we bless you and we thank you for that. I ask you to enable me tonight, Lord, that you would quicken my thoughts and help me to bring forth the word of life in that manner that will be pleasing unto you. Help me to use sound speech which cannot be condemned, speaking that which becometh sound doctrine. And dear Heavenly Father, help me to speak the truth in love. These things are only possible as you fill us. I pray that you will fill us and use us for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. And may your people be edified. And Lord, even above all, that you be glorified in our gathering together. Thank you again. Use us for your glory. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's reread verse 42, where the Bible says, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them." They stayed him. I want to speak to you by the help of the Lord for a few minutes upon that subject, staying Jesus. Now, we understand that while Jesus was on earth in a human body, his presence was limited by that fact. He could only be in one place at a time. And it was essential in the purpose of God that he move on to minister unto other cities, as we have read to you in verse 43. Now, today, his presence is not limited in such a manner as that. It's altogether different. He is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. Don't ask me to explain that, but it is true. He abides in every true believer, and he is present in every God-ordained assembly of worship. You'll find him there. But as we look at this, in what sense then, with that being true, in what sense can we speak of staying Jesus in any certain or particular place? He's already given us his word that he will not depart. We know that he abides, as I said, in every believer. So how can we stay the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we'll give you the meaning of that in just a moment, but we can only do so when speaking of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does manifest himself. And there are places today where he used to manifest himself that he's no longer doing so. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of places with steeples on them that have gone out of business as far as God is concerned. And Jesus is not there when their assembly gathers together. That's not saying that everyone is unsaved there. I'm not saying that at all. But we're talking about his manifest presence. And he's no longer manifest. Now, his presence is known through the operation of his Spirit upon the lives and the hearts of men and women. But I will say, you do not detect or determine the presence of the Lord simply by the excitement that goes on there. And it's certainly not altogether gauged by our sensibilities. Now, God has given it to us, since the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that we can sense the presence of God. But there are people who think that it's all gauged by the excitement they have or the thrill they feel. Well, down at our church a couple of weeks ago, there was a man and a woman came in. They sat down on the back pew, and we were having a congregational Sunday school. And he came in. I don't know if he thought that was the preaching or what. But midway through that, he looked over at the woman with him and said, if they're not going to shout, I'm going to leave. And they did. And I say amen. Oh, listen, friend, but we're living in that day that we need to know, we need to be able to discern the hand of God in our services. And oh, listen to me. His presence can be known. So in that sense, we're speaking tonight of staying Jesus. And as we do so, I want you to think about the value of His presence, the value of having Him around. Brother, it makes all the difference in the world. Let's break it down like this. First of all, talking about the motives for staying Jesus. Now that word stay simply means they delayed, they hindered, they prevented His departure. And the reason they did so, they didn't want Him to leave. Amen. They wanted Him around. They were benefiting by His presence. Now, what reasons did they have? Well, first of all, His works. And we'll not reread all of this, but if you notice, especially verses 40 and 41, they brought unto Him people afflicted in all different manners, and He healed them. He could do that. I can't do that, but He could do that. And that's what He was doing. In other words, His works were manifested in that time. Now, I believe a body of believers can retain our Lord's presence if they desire His works among them. Have we gotten so far? Have we gotten to the place where we can go to church and it doesn't matter whether anything happens or not? It doesn't matter whether or not our spirits are stirred. It doesn't matter whether anyone's saved or not, or if a backslider makes their way through repentance back to the Lord. Oh, my friend, I hope that we're not there, but I fear we're getting there quickly. But let me remind you, if you want the manifest presence of the Lord, then you're going to have to desire His works among you. That's the only way you're going to have it. And then they also stayed Him because of His word. Verses 31, 32, verse 44, let's read that one. And He preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And then in chapter 5, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him how to hear the word of God. What about that? They wanted the word so much so that they pressed around Him out of here. And brother, He had to get in a boat and back out in the sea a little ways and preach to them from there. Brother Tony, I didn't have that problem this past Sunday morning. I can remember as a child when the church would be filled, especially during revival. And they would set out chairs, and people would pull their automobiles up to the windows. The windows were raised, and they would sit on their automobiles to hear God's word preached. It isn't that way today. No, most of us preachers had empty pews this past Sunday. Now, I will confess, if you're willing to bend a little and come up with a few gimmicks and a few tricks, you can fill the house. But these people were there for the works of the Lord and the word of the Lord. Friend, I'll tell you today, call it old-fashioned if you will, but if they won't come on those grounds, I don't need them. I'll send them somewhere else. Oh, think about that. His works and His words. Sadly enough, as I said, this has changed. I believe that people are more interested in simply His works than they are His word. They want Him to work. Now, this was when Jesus was a star. This was when He was front page news. He was popular. This did not last. It's not lasting in our day, so don't get too excited. There are not a lot of folks who want the Word of God. But if you want His Word, and if you desire Him to work in the assembly, He'll be there. And we can trust him for that. One of Jesus' worst woes. I would be spoken against Capernaum. That's where he's at now. And a church, though, that has and hears and heeds the word of God will maintain his manifest presence in our day. Now blame all you can on the preacher. We're used to it. I'm 70 years old, almost 71, so you can blame me for anything you want to. I'm telling you, it's not going to bother me. It's not going to cost me any sleep. But here, let me tell you something. What's going on in our day? Folks just aren't as interested in hearing the Word of God and heeding God's Word as they once were. Think about that. And you will notice that this uppermost in the thoughts of and the purpose of Jesus was His Word. His works were given to draw them unto Him. But his word would save their soul. Well, yes. You think about that. He was more interested in giving his word than simply performing the works. He let that be known later on in his ministry. Listen, the physical deliverances were pointing to a greater deliverance, the spiritual deliverance from the bondage of sin and Satan. And I know this may be starting on a negative note, but I just don't believe folks are interested that far in our day. Now, you're here, and I hope that you're saved by the grace of God. I really do. And yet, are we that interested in His Word? Are we interested in God delivering us from those things from which we haven't been delivered? Oh, the motives for having his presence manifest. But let's move on and speak a little about the means for staying Jesus. How do you do that? Preacher, he's sovereign. You can't, you know, if he wants to move on, he'll move on. I know what you're saying. But I also know churches that have had the manifest presence of the Lord all of my life and still do. What about that? Oh, my friend, how can we prevent him from withdrawing his manifest presence? Well, there are a lot of ways. I'll just give you a few and you'll find the rest. But first of all, by seeking his presence, searching when there seems to be the slightest notice of his absence. Huh? There are no two services alike. I understand that. But you can also discern, if you know God, you can discern when it seems as if God is backing off. When it seems that He is withdrawing His presence somewhat, you can discern that if you walk with the Lord. That's for sure. But I want to tell you, what do we do when that begins to happen? Well, it's been happening in our churches now for several years. What are we doing? Listen, He went away out into the desert. And they went looking for him. Amen. Amen. Yes, what's wrong? What's wrong? Where did he go? Oh, my friend, how that should be in our hearts and in our minds when we notice that things are not what they used to be. And again, I'm not just trying to gauge everything by a shout, but we know when God is working in our midst, when we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We know that. We know when that begins to wane. Think of it. They sought Him. You say, well, preacher, where I go to church, it's just not like it used to be. Well, you're not alone, but let me ask you something. What are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? They sought him. Amen. Well, he's sovereign. If he wants to come by, he'll come by. And if he doesn't, oh, my friend, sure, God is a sovereign God. But I want to tell you something. He waits upon his people. He desires to be invited. He desires to give you his word and do his works among us. He wants to do that. We don't have to wonder about that. The Bible's filled with God's thoughts concerning these things. They were looking for him, and this also included their coming to him. Oh, yes. The Bible says they sought him and came unto him. What about that? They sought Him and came unto Him. That's another point in prayer. That's another point that should fill our minds and our spirit. Listen, we want Him to come. We want Him to come. But are we willing to come to Him? That's what they were doing. And I really believe that often the key to experiencing our Lord's presence lies in cleansing our hands and purifying our hearts and drawing nigh unto God. And God said, if you will do that, I will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise of God. God doesn't lie. I'll grant you this, whether it's a church or an individual Christian, when you begin to draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. That never fails. I feel the necessity of that quite often in my life. And I try to live for Him. I try to walk with Him day by day. But still, sometimes there's a dullness of spirit. And I need to draw nigh unto Him. And I remember those words. They ring in my ears. I cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. You say, well, I'm just so sinful. I just can't get it in my heart to draw nigh to Him. That's who He wants to come. It's called, by the way, a throne of grace. A throne of grace. Why? That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, I need that every day. And every day I'm thankful that it's a throne of grace and that we can obtain mercy. Some of us are so sanctified, we don't need mercy anymore, do we? They don't need grace anymore, do we? Brother, you're looking at one human being that needs it every day that he walks upon the face of this earth. I say hallelujah for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us and rose again and entered heaven for us. I need an advocate. I need a high priest. I need a mediator and a daysman betwixt myself and God. And one who can take care of my needs, my spiritual needs, when I need forgiveness of sin. What are you saying? I'm saying one of the ways to have His presence, His manifest presence, is to seek Him. Seek Him. But then another way is by showing our love. Let me ask you this, and you don't have to holler out an answer. It might be embarrassing to you. But how long has it been since you showed your love to Jesus Christ? Huh? You know, we've got a couple stray cats we picked up. We picked them up over at the church. People love to come by and set them out. They figure that since we talk about mercy, we'll have mercy. And so we did. We took them home, and they were just little kittens. And you know what? They were shy and scared to death and this and that. But now they'll crawl up on you, on your lap, and they want you to love them. And my wife says I spoil them, and I'm guilty. I don't care, dog or cat. I've got to spoil them. And you know, they like that. They love that. They want you to show your love to them. What do you think the Lord wants? What do you think He wants? We gather together, and I'm not trying to be mean, but we gather together, and we want so much for Him to do something for us. And He might be asking, why don't they love on me? You say, preacher, how do you show your love? Well, you show it through worship. We've gathered together. And I hope we've come to worship the Lord, to sit at His feet and hear what He has to say. And you show it by praising Him, by honoring and glorifying Him. And you don't have to be in church to do that. No, no, no. You say, well, I would be terribly embarrassed to go outside in my yard and praise the Lord. Well, you won't be for long. Embarrassment doesn't last but about 10 seconds, and then it's gone. And it's a good way of crucifying the flesh. Why don't you just praise Him every now and then? Whether it's inside or outside, just glorify Him. He's worthy. He is worthy. Amen. And then by obedience. You can show your love by obeying. He that loveth me keepeth my commandments, is the word of the Lord. But we move on. We can retain his presence by sympathizing with him. That is, by having a heart that's in tune with his heart. Especially when it comes to his purpose of saving the lost and reclaiming the backslidden. Oneness of mind and purpose with him. Have we forgotten? He said, I came how to seek the sinner. Listen, he saved you, he saved me, but I hope he isn't done. But God moves through his people. Do we have one mind and one heart with him on that? Listen, we're to be fed, we're to be edified, we're to be encouraged when we come to the house of God. But all of that, that's not the end of that God purpose. There's a lost and dying world that needs Jesus. He wants to use us to that end. You say, well, preacher, it's a different day and not many people are being saved. I know that. And I'm not one of those that blames the church for all of that. But neither am I going to blame the world that folks are not getting saved. I certainly am not going to blame God. All I know is that we have that part in it to tell the great news of the gospel. We have that part to let our light shine in these dark days for the glory of God. I want to tell you something. He laid it out in the book of Ruth so that we would know there's a main harvest, or there's the first fruits. That's already happened. There's the main harvest, and it might be that that has already happened. But he said that would be followed by a time of gleaning, and that accords exactly with what Paul and Peter told. But I want to tell you something. If you wouldn't go all out to see one person saved, you wouldn't go out if he is saving 100 every Sunday. We might be in the day of gleaning. I feel that we are, but I still have that responsibility to honor him through obedience and to sympathize with him, to pray for the lost sinner. You got anyone on your heart? Oh my, we should pray. And then another way of staying him is by finding our satisfaction in him. When we are like Mary sitting at his feet, who wouldn't be distracted from or denied this privilege. When he is all I need, as we sing, all I need to satisfy my heart, my mind, and my spirit, then he is happy to remain. Now, what about that? You find your satisfaction in him? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about it. Because some of you sitting here right now, and you can't wait to get out of this tabernacle so you can get back to your computer or your phone or your television. Huh? Where do you find your satisfaction? There should be that within us that only God can satisfy. And if you want to keep him around as far as his manifest presence is concerned, then be satisfied in and with him. If it were taken away, could you make it? Could you make it? I was thinking, talking to Kathy the other day about, the border crisis and what some people refer to as foreigners coming into our land. And I said, well, I don't know how to think on that. I really don't. Because if they're not around, who's going to do our work? Because American young people not going to do much of it unless it can be done with their thumbs and fingers. And I'm not blaming them for loving the technology that God has blessed us with. I'm simply saying, does it take that to satisfy you? Does it take a vacation to satisfy you? And a vacation's a good thing, a wonderful thing. We get refreshed. But I want to tell you something. We're living sometimes for the wrong things. Let's get back and learn what it means how to be satisfied with the Son of God. The one that loved us, the one that died for us, the one that rose again, the one who's coming back after us one day. You know, a thought just struck me. We might could win more people to Jesus if we would tell them they could take their iPhone with them to heaven. Oh, well, let's get off of that and move on. Think about the merits for staying Jesus. What is the value, the worth, the excellence of having the Lord among us when we assemble together? Well, I want to answer that question in the negative. First of all, how unable we are without Him. How unable we are without Him. I want to tell you something. The longer I preach, the more I realize that I'm an absolute zero without Him. I cannot do it. And I've gotten to the place I don't want to do it, but I have His presence. What about that? Listen, I don't want church without His presence. There's too much of that going on. Oh, my friend, we're unable. We can't save the lost. The church can't save them. We're unable to defend ourselves from the howling wolves, Satan's emissaries. We have no defense apart from Him. Somebody says we need to get back to church discipline. Well, maybe so, but the best church discipline is life. Yes, sir. Yes, having the life of God in our midst in such a way that sin can't stand His presence. That's the best purging there is, and the best defense. I can't stand against all of these things that are coming against us today, thrown at us from Satan, but I don't want to compromise either. I need God's presence. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen. Our inability stretches on and on. When it comes to not having the manifest presence of our Lord with us, we just can't function properly without Him. The crowd around Jesus knew their help was from Him. They were bringing their sick folks and they were being healed. And I know some of the prophets of old, some 400, 500, 600, 800 years before that, God gave them that ability to do so, but it wasn't anything like on this scale. And they knew that if He were to leave, that's it. And it is. It is. And when the Lord fails to manifest His presence in our midst, and I'm not considering just simply one service. I'm talking about over time, over a period of time. Friend, we're in trouble because we're unable without Him. We just can't do it. And then how unhappy we are without Him. Oh, my friend, His presence is our comfort. His presence is our peace and our joy and our all. He's the balm of Gilead to our weary souls. Do you ever feel such a need of Him? Without His manifest presence, our harps are hung on the willows. Oh. What about that? There's no singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord when we don't have His presence working among us. You think of that. And there are a lot today that just don't show their joy. I've been reading a lot lately biographies, and I just finished one about the great missionary to China, Bertha Smith. And if anything marked her, it was the fullness of joy that she had. And see, she was in a heathen land, and the communists were taking over. And yet, somehow, through fellowship with the Lord, her joy was maintained. And the people could see that. They knew from her joy that she was different. I'm not talking about natural exuberance. I'm not talking about just that type of personality that's happy all the time. That's okay. You like to be around people like that. But I'm talking about a joy that settles so deep that you can walk the valley. You can walk through the dark spells and God is with you and you know that He's with you. What about that? But then how unwilling we are to serve, to seek, to sanctify without His presence. You know, His presence is like oil to the wheel of obedience. You ever had that squeaking wheel? And I had one on my lawnmower, and I got off and laid the motor oil to it the other day. I don't like those squeaks. We get to squeaking sometimes. need the oil of the Spirit of God in our midst. Need that fellowship, that communion of the Holy Ghost that the Bible talks about. We're unwilling. It's hard. It's getting harder today to get people involved. You can't get them to sing in the choir. You can't get them to teach Sunday school. You can't get them to work in Bible school. They've always got some reasonable excuse. The fact is, we need that presence working in such a way that people are willing. That's what he said in his word, wasn't it? My people shall be willing in the day of my power. Huh? Oh, yes. One other thing. How unsatisfied we are without His presence. And you know, an unsatisfied spirit will manifest itself in unrest, in murmuring, in divisions, and so forth. And where are we today? Why, it's a blessing almost. Just short of a miracle that you can get this many preachers together. Huh? And we'd better not stay together too long. I'll tell you, the thing is splitting up over things that are not that important. You believe one way. Listen, if you're down to earth and resting on the Word of God, what it says about these fundamentals, why do you want to fall out with everyone else who disagrees a little? I believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? I believe that He lived a sinless life. I believe that He vicariously went to the cross and died for me and for you. Do you agree to that? I believe that He arose again the third day. I believe that He ascended back to heaven. I believe that He's coming again. Do you believe that? So why can't we get along? Listen, it's the work of the devil. But I'll tell you what'll cure that. To have that manifest presence of the Lord. You know, used to have camp meeting, and you would have, and I can remember these days, and you would have Methodists there, you would have Presbyterians there. I'm not saying that you have to have them there to have camp meeting. I'm simply saying they were resting on God's holy word, and they wanted the presence of God, and they had the presence of God. What an adhesive, what a glue, that presence of God, how to keep things together. There are churches today still in our land that are such a blessing. And they have such a presence of God. And you can walk in and you can even sense the spirit of harmony in those places. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way God meant for it to be. We're never going to settle all of our differences this side of glory. I'm not saying take on anything and everything. You know me better than that. I'm saying we ought to be able to have God's presence in our midst, and I believe we can, and I believe that He'll satisfy us. I know He will satisfy us. Listen, the most sinful thing issuing from such a state of unrest and division and so forth, the most sinful thing issuing from such a state is that God is not glorified among us. With the result that He seems to move farther and farther away. What are we going to do? Let's bring it down to our own persons. You that are here tonight, do you have anyone you know and love that's not yet saved? That's where it's costing us. Do you want to see them saved? Do you really want to see them saved? You say, well, preacher, of course. No, I mean it. Do you really, really want to see them saved? Well, if you do you agree with what I'm saying? That we need to seek Him? And once He's moving among us, dealing with hearts and lives, getting us right with Him and all of that, do we want to retain Him? Or is that a little too much for us? God help us. I'm telling you, this thing is about over. It's about over. And if we're going to see those loved ones saved, if we're going to see those lost children brought to Christ, then we'll have to stop taking it for granted and go to depending upon the presence of the Lord. I know this isn't much, but it is the Word of God. I know it's very simple, but I believe it's what we need. God, help us to seek Him. God, help us to seek Him. As a matter of fact, if this is all right with Tony, I think all who can and will, and if you have this in your heart, you want Him to move, you want Him to bless, you want Him to help, then would you gather with me around this altar tonight and let's call on Him. You say, well, preacher, we have His presence and He does manifest Himself here. I know that. Do you want to keep it like that? Do you want Him to stay? Do you want Him to remain as our source of blessing and our source of help? Then let's pray and call on the name of the Lord.